Love that song. Well, it's good to have again Brother House with us tonight. Brother House is going to come and preach for us. What I was going to come up and say a while ago is about the love offering, but I'll give him a dollar after church. We'll be fine.
What a thing to forget. I'm glad to be back. I'm glad you've come back. I wonder where the rest of them are. It's such a forever training program when you get new Christians. And get them back, get them regular like they ought to be. I want you to open your Bible, please, if you would, to Romans chapter 12. I did enjoy the music. I always enjoy the music here. And I'm glad that I can say that. I also have a runny nose. My wife is having an effect on me. I want to talk to you tonight concerning the holy presentation. I know you think when your preacher gets up or anybody else gets up, they just find something to read and preach about it. But what I've been saying, none of it's been really by accident. Amen. We talked Sunday morning on preparation for stewarding the new year, the new commitments. It's an amazing thing when you begin to think about that. And then last night, an abrupt change, we talked about what about this thing called money. Because really stewardship is money is the part of stewardship that most people don't care for. And I talked about it. And we have to pause there now. We've talked about how to get ready, and we've talked about what it's all about, but some of us still not ready. And some of us think, you know, church would be wonderful if it wasn't for this part of it. And we think, you know, how could anyone ask that of us? Anywhere, anytime, any cost. How could anyone face you and say, this is what you need to commit to me? Anytime, anywhere, any cost. Well, we'll find that out here. When you come to Romans chapter 12, there's an immediate turning that takes place. It's been doctrine up to now. You get in the early chapters of Romans, and it talks about the terrible sin of man. And then you get no further than chapter 3, and it begins to talk about salvation. And you go a little further, and it talks about justification. And you get over there around chapter 8 and so forth, so in that area, and it begins to talk about sanctification. And then you get over here to Romans chapter 12, and everything changes. It's an amazing thing. Listen to chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. An amazing thing. Paul is saying, all right, you've got all your doctrine straight now. You're all indoctrinated. Now, he says, it's time to put it to work. Yeah. It's time to put it into action. Right. Well, you've been studying this and studying this and studying this, you know. And he seems to be saying that sound doctrine always leads to dedication and commitment and good work. Right. I mean, it's just in the book. You can't get much more out of it. See, what you say you believe does not matter if it doesn't affect the way you live. You know, if we really believed everything we said, we'd be such good stewards. The world would look at us and say there's something more to it than man there. If we just really believe what we say we believe. Amen. It's an amazing thing, you see. Jonathan Edwards is looked upon in the past as a consecrated man. He had five resolutions for life that are public. Everyone's seen them, I'm sure, but let's rehearse them again. These are Jonathan Edwards' five resolutions for life. Number one, he said, to live with all my might while I live. Tomorrow is not promised. Some folks are going to really enjoy life when they get everything like they want it. Pardon the English, ain't going to happen. We're living in a world that, according to the Bible, is going to get worse and worse and worse. And we're looking for it to get better? No. Live while you can. He said, I'm going to live with all my might while I live. Get out of this slothful, lazy, good-for-nothing kind of life we enjoy. And get out there and get busy for God. Number two, I'll always use every moment properly. More to it than just using it. He said, I'll use it properly. Number three, I'll never do anything I would despise in another person. I know I'm the only one here, but since I'm confessing, I'll get it out. Do you know when I get judgmental and critical of someone else, what almost every time I'm judgmental of them about? Stuff that's in my own life that I don't like. So I think I'll go with him and just never do anything I would despise in another. Number four, never do anything I would not do at the last hour of my life. And number five, never do anything out of revenge. He was a consecrated man. Paul is calling here in verse 1 for a holy presentation. A holy presentation. It's quite interesting. See, we talk about presenting our offerings and the money and the giving. But he says you need to get first things first. There's some other things we need to present before we start presenting our money and our time and our mind, you see. So I want us to look at this. It's a call to consecration, this holy presentation. I present, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present a holy presentation, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let's just examine it for a few moments tonight. I don't know why I keep looking back there. There ain't no clock back there. Now, if you guys want to use that thing real good, you need to put a big clock in it whenever I'm preaching. And that way I don't have to sweat it. Yeah, that's for you guys back there doing nothing. Drinking coffee and eating donuts. Good night. Give me a clock up there. You can do it. Techie. I was in Arkansas preaching a while back, and they had a screen that big, and they never used it. But when I got up to preach, they used it. Full clock on it, secondhand clicking around, big as that back door there. I didn't know what it was for, and I just went on with my business, but it's a pretty good idea. Let's look at this. Let's just do a little exposition of it. If you'll stay alert, God will put something in your heart about it. Number one, notice, it's personal. So sometimes I just don't delight in running into the Bible to one of those personal things. But this one's personal. Did you notice it, what Paul said? I beseech you. This is not one of those general shotgun shots. This is very personal. And what other thing? See, talking about consecration, I beseech you. Now, I suppose that there's such a thing as a consecrated church or a consecrated group, but I've never met one. I've never seen one. It's always a person, a man, a woman, a teenager, an old coot sitting with the teenagers. Always a person. Nothing, not a church. He doesn't beseech the church to be consecrated. He beseeches you, me, to be consecrated. And you know, Paul had done exactly what he's admonishing us to do here. Let me just read you a few verses, because the Bible never heard any message. Listen to what Paul had said about himself. Just pay attention to the words. Paul said in Acts 20:24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus." Did you get it? "Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course." Acts 20:24. Listen to Philippians 3:8. "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." And then in Galatians 2:20, "I am crucified with Christ." What an amazing statement he makes. And he comes to us and says, now put your mental, spiritual tent around that, and I beseech you. Remember our question when we started? How could anyone approach us and request of us that we make a commitment? Anytime, anywhere, any cause. Well, let's look at this. Not only is it personal, but it is pleading. It is pleading. He said, "I beseech you." Now, that's not a demand. It's not even a command. It's coming from a holy God. And he's talking about that which no man can demand but God. But rather, it is a beseeching. Paul is saying, inspired of the Holy Spirit of God, "I am pleading with you. I beseech you." And I guess we ought to pay attention here. You know, we come to church and get settled in our favorite chair. "Oh, I made a horrible mistake Sunday morning. I sat down in his chair. He come and sat down by me as if moved, dummy. And I didn't move." And he said, "You know this is a Baptist church, don't you?" And I got the message and I moved over there. They're glad to have me over there on that side. But we come and we get comfortable in our chair. And I'd do the same thing probably, except I'd be kinder. We sit around, chew our gum, rest in Zion, and our city going to hell. And Paul is saying, "Look, I plead with you. I plead with you." And it's like water off a duck's back. It's a sad, sad thing. He's saying, "I want you to give yourself. I beg you, serve God," you see. But it's interesting. He's asking us to do something that no one can make us do. Isn't that right? No one can make you go soul winning. No one can make you read your Bible. No one can make you pray. No one can make you tithe. No one can make you give offerings. No one can make you live a consecrated life. But that's what Paul is pleading for us to do. To serve God. you see. I know so many good folks in our churches, except you just can't count on them. You just can't count on them. It's an amazing thing, you see. Amazing. You know, as a Christian, I really don't want it on my tombstone. God asked me to do something, and I wouldn't do it. I don't even want people suggesting that God wanted me to live a consecrated life, and I wouldn't do it. I refused. No, we need to give all to God. That's what Paul's saying. I beseech you, stop playing church, he says. Actually, it's not a social club. It's not something for prestige. Get going. God wants you involved. I didn't bring my brochure back tonight, but all those opportunities that are listed in there, guess who God wants involved in taking care of those? Just take a wild guess. You. It's amazing how many folks think so much of the Bible doesn't apply to them. You say, why would you say that? Because so many of them don't do what it says. It's an amazing thing. God wants you involved. You say, well, you just don't understand, preacher. I don't have anything to give. I heard a story. All my stories are old. You just bear with me. Came out of one of the old Southern Baptist churches years ago when they were on fire for God, baptizing more people than had been heard of in our time, just solid. And they were having a missions conference, and they were coming to the close of it, and the preacher was beseeching his people. He said, now, we're having our commitment time at the close of the morning service. The offering plates are going to be here. I want you to do what God would have you to do and present it, bring it, put it in these offering plates. And then he said, and everybody has something to give. Well, they came to the invitation and then the commitment time, and one by one in couples, husbands and wives came forward and put their commitments in there, and it slowed down a little bit, and here came a little girl in a tattered dress, and she took one of the empty offering plates and put it on the floor and just stepped her little feet in it and stood there. And the pastor didn't really know what to do. He didn't want to embarrass the child, and so he bent over to her and he said, sweetie, what are you doing standing in the offering plate? And she said, Pastor, you said everybody had something to give. And all I have is me, and I give it. And she became one of the greatest missionaries we've heard about in lady work around the world. Say, you've got you. And that's what this holy presentation is all about. Once you give God yourself, the rest of it's sort of immaterial. It'll just follow wherever you go. But somebody said, but how in the world can God ask that of us? Anywhere, anytime, any cost. Well, let's see what it says here in the Bible. This is the third point, if you're pointing. Number 12, chapter 12, verse 1. Now, how could God ask that of us? I beseech you, brethren, here it is, by the mercies of God. By the mercies of God. Again, I'm glad to hear your preacher talking about worship in some of his introductory remarks while he was taking my preaching time yesterday. We've just about lost worship in our churches. We've just about lost it. When a congregation would sit for an hour and nothing be said. Nothing. And all, you know, I get aggravated at some of these guys, young and old. And if I'd stay off social media, I wouldn't stay mad so much. But they're on there bragging about flesh. And they'll say, God came by tonight. No, he didn't come by tonight. He was there when you started. You came by.
Amen.
Hmm? Well, God dropped in tonight. No, you just finally became alert to his presence. And we need a little more worship time when we could become aware of his presence. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. I think we need to just stop and reflect on God's goodness. I think I'd have a reflecting time before I took the commitments. If I were pastoring, I think I would. You know, count your blessings. See, quit complaining and bickering and bellyaching and splitting and splattering. Stop, so busy criticizing and finding fault and minimizing and filled with self-pity and got a persecution complex and everybody's against us and we're half mad all. Why don't we just sit down, shut our mouth, and say, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. And what would you have me do? Anywhere, anytime, any cost. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. I heard the story of this single mom who was raising a teenage daughter. Lord, help her. The mom was horribly scarred and disfigured to the point that her daughter was ashamed. And the mom and the teenage daughter were walking out one spring afternoon, and they met a bunch of the little girl's peers, and they got to chatting and talking, and one of them asked the teenager, said, who is that ugly woman you're with? And the little girl said, I don't know her. Mama heard it all, didn't say anything. She got back home and she said, honey, I want you to sit down. I want to tell you a story. Little girl sat down, not knowing what to expect, and her mother scarred from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet in such a horrible way. You can't describe it as anything but ugly. There's no other words. And she said to her daughter, she said, once I was as pretty as you are. My skin was soft and unblemished. My hair was long and soft, and my hands were perfect. And she said, there was a house fire at our house then one day, and I was burned getting you out of the house. And the little girl began to weep. And she said, Mother, you did it all for me? And she said, yes, I did it all for you. Now, you do whatever you want to with this next statement. Well, just do anything you want to. But all that God ever did on Calvary's cross, he did it for me. 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 We love to sing it. We have not a clue what we're singing. Years I spent in vanity and pride, knowing not it was for me. He died. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Notice this next phrase, which would be point four, that you present your body. That you present your body. Has it ever really dawned on you that Christians are the only ones who can present God anything? Anything else is an abomination. A Christian is the only one that can do it. Now, here's the difficulty. Once you present this, then someone says, well, preacher, what does that word body really mean? Well, I know this is a shock. It means body. Yeah. See, God has your soul. He wants your body. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body. Somebody said, I gave my heart to Jesus. Baloney. Won't you give your body to Jesus? You see, we all messed up on it. And you know the body has so many sins, you wonder why God would want it. The sin of laziness, the sin of uncleanness, the sin of slothfulness, the sin of greed, the sin of unforgiveness. And yet the Bible tells us that this is the home of the Holy Spirit. It's a wonderful, amazing thing. The Holy Spirit is it. And we're called on to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And that word present, it is very simple, you know. It means to place near at hand. One is not here, so I'll give you an illustration. My house looks like Cracker Barrel. I mean, there's stuff all over every wall. I put it there under duress. If we ever took that stuff down, it would look like my walls had been machine gunned. There's holes everywhere. And I know none of you guys ever helped your wife put stuff up. But it goes something like this. She wants the picture up there. And she'll put them in the oddest places. And if I want her to know I said any of this, I will tell her. You got the picture up there. Are you with me? And she said, lower, dummy. No, that's too low. Back up. Up, up. No, no. Back down. Up. The right-hand corner's too high. Lower. Look, straight up. Straighten up. Over to the right. Okay, right there. I ain't moving. Now, question. Have any of you ever took a nail and drove it in with a case knife handle? Or shoe heel? Don't you know what a hammer is for? Somebody tell me what a hammer is for. To drive a nail. Why didn't you use a hammer? There wasn't one near at hand. Couldn't reach it. I get plumb out of sorts sometimes because I watch other people who are not near as pretty as I am, nor half as smart, and God is just using them in miraculous, marvelous, wonderful ways. And so I go complaining to God. Why are you doing that, Father? Why don't you use me? He said, I use what's near at hand. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, to present your bodies. Put yourself near at hand, anywhere, anytime, any cause. Quit playing church. Quit the religious games and understand that God's calling for. Somebody says, well, you know, let's not get the flesh in this. What do you mean? Well, let's just let the Holy Spirit do it. With what, pray tell? With what would the Holy Spirit use in the world today to accomplish what needs to be accomplished? We're it. And he beseeches us to present our bodies. And notice the fifth point, a living sacrifice. The death of Jesus on Calvary's cross was the last accepted dead sacrifice. Those bulls and those bullocks. But now then, he talks about living water and living bread and the living way. And he wants living Christians, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable. It means acceptable in God's sight. It's an amazing thing when you begin to think about it. Now those doves, those oxen, those bullocks, they didn't They didn't have any way of reasoning out what was happening. They didn't have any choice in the matter. Just one day they're alive, next day their throat slit, and their blood's poured out, and the carcass is burned. Dead sacrifice. But you and I tonight, see, they didn't have a choice or the power to reason. You and I tonight, the Bible tells us, have been made with the ability to reason. He said, I want you to present your body as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. We have the power to reason. And the most reasonable thing in the world that you can ever do is to present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. What a thought. Just give your bodies. I got saved in 1948. I wasted some years. But 56 years ago, when I got serious about the things of God, my soul had been saved all the time. But 56 years ago, when I got serious about the things of God, there's been one challenge every day of my life, and that is this. Be sure you let God have the rest of you. He saved your soul. You wake up in the morning, you give him the rest of it fresh every morning. Die to self. Rise to live for Christ. Let God have the rest. Throw pride away and esteem away and all that selfishness and all that foolishness. And why don't you, for a change, just be reasonable? You ever tell your kids that? Just be reasonable. But that would call for some folks easing out of the comfort zone. And that would call for some folks to redo the schedule. And that would cause for some folks to change their entire perspective about what life is all about. And the Bible says that's all right. Do it because of the mercies of God. Just do it. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. One question, we're going to have an invitation. Are you willing to do the reasonable thing tonight? Husbands and wives, change your entire marriage for better. The reasonable thing. Paul said, I plead with you. I beg you. I beseech you. What are you going to do? Bow your head, please. Every head is bowed. Every eye is closed. What we do tonight will have a whole lot to do with what you do at commitment time. Father, thank you for that sacrifice long ago on Calvary's cross that set my soul free. And I pray tonight someone can take into their heart the simple plea that Paul penned that reflects that holy presentation when you and I presented our bodies a living sacrifice. Bless us now in these continuing moments. In Jesus' name, amen. Standing together, our invitation hymn begins. You let God.
I need thee.